Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Have any of you watched the series The Chosen? Yes? No, Bible school people did. One of the most dramatic scenes is from this text. Peter, Andrew, and the Zebedee brothers have been out all night and have not caught a single fish. They're exhausted. Then Jesus shows up and uses Peter's boat to preach. Jesus then tells the fishermen to cast out their nets one more time. Can you imagine the look on Peter's face when Jesus tells him to go back out into his boat? You can feel his frustration and his fatigue. Simon Peter cannot be in the best mood at this moment. He is ready to go home, not get back into the boat. Then again, Jesus has just healed his mother-in-law, so maybe that's why he agreed to go back out. They go out into the deep water and they catch so many fish, their nets almost break. And this is that dramatic scene in The Chosen. There are fish jumping into the boats, pouring into their nets. It's not just enough fish for a day. It's enough fish to pay off their debts and start a new life. When the boats are almost sinking from the weight of all of these fish, what does Peter do? Does Peter glorify God? Does he automatically follow Jesus? No. He falls down in terror at Jesus' feet and says, "Go away from me, Lord. Go away from me. I am a sinful man." Faced with a miracle, he finds himself in the presence of the holy. And he is so overwhelmed by his own unholiness. Now, if that sounds like an unusual response to the Messiah, Peter is just following a long line of God's prophets and disciples who initially resisted when called by God. When God called Moses from the burning bush, Moses protested multiple times, saying he wasn't eloquent enough, and he asked God to send someone else. Jonah ran away from God's command to preach to the wicked pagans in Nineveh. He tried to escape by boarding a ship that was sailing in the opposite direction. Jeremiah objected, saying he was too young and didn't know how to speak. While not a prophet, Gideon doubted God's call and insisted on multiple signs before accepting his role as Israel's leader. When Isaiah saw his vision of God, he was so overwhelmed by his unworthiness that he cried out, "Woe is me, I am ruined." Peter pronounced himself the least of the apostles, who was not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the assembly of God. Yet, every time, despite their protests, God used these flawed and fragile humans to proclaim God's love and mercy. God sent Moses' brother Aaron to speak for him. God saved Jonah from the belly of the fish. God told Jeremiah to speak whatever God commanded him to, and God would be with him. When God saw the angel of the Lord's face, God told Gideon, "Don't fear, you will not die." When Isaiah was cleansed with a coal from the altar, Isaiah cried, "Here I am, send me." When Paul realized he was unfit, he replied, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." And Paul was sent. And we are still sent. We are sent into the world every week with the words, "Go in peace. Sunday after Sunday, we, you, the church, gather together, hear the word proclaimed, share the meal, and then are sent out to share the good news of God in Christ Jesus to a hungry, needy world. Inside, though, sometimes we may feel more like Moses, Jeremiah, Jonah, Isaiah, Paul, and Peter, and wonder why God has entrusted us to such an important mission. In a world where we're constantly being told that we are not enough, we don't have enough, we don't know enough, we don't matter enough, God's trust in us seems imprudent, even a little irrational. We too, in our shame, may ask Jesus to go away, believing we are too sinful, too unforgivable, and too beyond repair. Yet Jesus remains. Jesus tells us too, do not be afraid. Just like Peter, Jesus meets us at the shorelines of our own lives, going about our daily work, and calls us to lifelong discipleship. I mean, that's what our mission statement says that we do. First Emmanuel Lutheran Church is a diverse gathering of Christians, centered and immersed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, calling all to discipleship in the love of Christ through baptism, teaching, worship, and service. Amen. When Jesus calls, Peter is hesitant and thinks that what Jesus asks of him is both unnecessary and too demanding. Nevertheless, Peter goes and discovers that a life has a surprise in store for him. By doing what Jesus asks him to do, he has an epiphany of God. God is revealed in the ordinary, even seemingly unnecessary events of our lives. Paul goes out to catch some fish, and his life is changed forever. He is now called to catch people. We are sent to go catch people too. Where is God calling you in your life? What seemingly everyday event might be an opportunity to catch people? This is not talking about people in our pews. This means being open to sharing the love of God in Christ Jesus in our everyday lives. Don't be afraid. Put out those nets. Remember, God will give you what you need. I close with a prayer that will be our guiding prayer this year as we hear the call of Jesus to go catch people. It's called the Prayer of Good Courage, my favorite. Copies of this prayer are on little cards in the narthex on the table, and I encourage you to carry one with you as you go out to catch people with good courage. The prayer is in your bulletins. I encourage you to turn to that prayer, and we'll say it together now. The Prayer of Good Courage. O God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise for the hymn of the day. February principle of stewardship.